Experience the charm and mystery of the Deep Sound through ghost stories by attending the highly respected Roswell Ghost Tour. Your experienced guide will lead you on this two-hour outdoor walking tour through the historic district of Roswell. One of the highlights of the tour is a visit to Founders Cemetery, the burial site of Roswell King, where bodies are buried beneath modern streets and houses. Grand Greek Revival mansions and humble mill workers' apartments are some of the haunted sites you'll see on this mile of easy walking. Check RoswellGhostTour.com for the current schedule. Tours run most Friday and Saturday nights year-round, and private tours may be arranged. Reservations are required. Call 770-649-9922. That's 770-649-9922 for more information. Happy haunting from Roswell Ghost Tours.
Interested in ghosts? UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
When I need to quench my desire for the paranormal, only one thing can hit the spot. I tune into Night Watch with Todd Sheets. Accept no substitutes. When you need the real thing, tune in to Night Watch, the only show that shudders and shakes and bumps in the night. And don't forget, Night Watch is also available on iTunes for your portable paranormal pleasure. Night Watch, paranormal radio for everyone. Why settle for less? Demand the best. Night Watch.
I'd like to share a recent experience where I strongly believe that I encountered a shadow person.
When I looked, it was January 5th, 2046.
I want to find an explanation for it. I want to rule it out as, something that was logical.
There are many things we have yet to learn about and understand. Join us here at Supernatural Existence and learn about the many mysteries of the universe. Feel free to subscribe via any of your favorite podcast directories, including iTunes, or check us out on the Supernatural Existence website at www.globeye.com. The mysteries are waiting to be understood.
I really want to see something supernatural with my own eyes, not hear it or think I heard it or anything like that, actually see it with my own eyes, capture it on camera, hear something weird or something like that.
Listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
On July 27, 1987, David A. Warner experienced an event that forever changed his way of thinking and maturity, such that included life after death, self-realization, and a spiritual awareness. This has helped him facilitate in-depth documenting and scientific research into OBEs, or out-of-body experiences. It's definitely a gift from God to explore thousands of experiences and allowing him to share his story. Author of the website, InvisibleLight.us, the information that is offered helps bring awareness to the community about what is possible through the OBE consciousness. Invisible Light presents statistics, validations, journals, experiments, upcoming radio views, video for the visitors to explore and learn more. Check out definitely www.invisiblelight.us. And with that, I'd like to welcome David Warner to the show. David, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing good, Scott. How are you?
Real good. Doug's here and Bonnie are here also, but they were hiding somewhere on break.
Yes, I was. I apologize.
I was getting more water up in my face.
Oh, very nice.
I was watching somebody actually brave the swimming pool out back of the winery.
Somebody's swimming in the pool out back of the winery right now?
I was shocked because we just got done with a tornado warning, David. And someone's braving the pool.
It's been a busy night here, I have to say, David. Now...
Yeah.
Now, OBEs, and this is a subject that Doug, I know, he really grapples onto a lot, as do I.
It's one of the things I started with in college, actually. I started reading more and more and more about OBEs. Of course, Robert Monroe's books are, ultimately classics, and I literally drove many, many miles to find, I think, the third of his books, and it was very interesting. I was into that for quite a while. I think I actually had two. I think it was two. But they're not what I had expected or read about. They were a little more personal or interesting. But so what I'm wondering is, how did it work for you? Because obviously something on July 27th, 1987, changed your life. So how did it work?
Well, how it actually came about is I was actually staying at my friend's house in Detroit, Mass. And I was actually, I wasn't on any mission to learn about out-of-body experiences. OBEs is commonly known as astral projection to today's standards, but what happened is I brought my guitar over to my friend's house. We played for a little while, and then I actually started practicing some music. My friend was reading this book on astral projection. And at the time, what really caught my eye is the book front cover, because there was this woman sleeping, you know, she's clothed in a phantom image of hers rising above her body, and she's naked. And the first thing I saw was like, wow, this gal's naked. You can see her breasts. I'm like, woohoo, what are you reading? You know? And that's what really caught my interest. And then when he explained to me about out-of-body experiences, the whole being able to shift consciousness from a physical to a spiritual body and experience the other side, life after death, you know, right then and there, when he explained the mechanics and all that, I don't know how to really put my finger on that, you know, that emotion, that passion, that desire, that wanting to know feeling. I mean, it was just, I was on fire, and I still feel that today. I mean, that feeling, you know, obsession, that drive has just not left me, and I wanted to succeed. And with the information that my friend Matt explained to me, it really took me about a good couple months to have my full out-of-body experience. And it doesn't matter what you read, who tells you what, who you communicate with, the first experience and then some, it's a lot different from what you're going to expect. Because what happened to me, I didn't realize I was actually projecting. It just happened, and I didn't realize I was going to actually enter that part of the separation from a different point of view. I was trying to come from a dream to a projection point of view, but I was actually going into a trance state, which I didn't know I was doing at the time, and that's how I was able to project. But getting back to it, it was that day that really kind of opened my eyes to the spiritual components of the out-of-body experiences, and then after that, I just ran with the ball, and now that's it. And ever since, you know, the present, I'm actively projecting. I experience at least, I'd say on the average, about 1 to 2 OBEs weekly, and that's all I can really say. It's just been a spiritual experience that has brought me closer to God and my religion, Christianity, and to realize, yeah, there is a lot more that we really don't see besides going in the context of just reading a Bible from Genesis to Revelation. There's a lot more above and beyond that, and it just really, you know, for me, it was a spiritual calling and learning and to seek this knowledge. And that's how I can really come down to the basics of what it has helped me better understand and giving of myself and becoming a more caring person. And I owe to that night and my friend showing me that. So it was just an incredible moment in my life that really changed me then.
I was in, around that time, as a matter of fact, that would have been my college years. That would have been the end of my college years, actually, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's when I was studying. It was back in my college years. So it would have been a little bit before 1987. And I have to say it's an interesting topic because it mm-hmm. obviously tells you that you have a couple of we're not limited to what our bodies have, you know, going on. We have a spiritual or a spirit or an astral body component that's distinctly mm-hmm. separate and can travel. Things like that. But I remember reading of some of the early experimenters, and I have to say I've cheated, and I read through our show notes and things that we want to discuss.
Shame on you.
I know. I cheated and read that. But the early experiment, because you've got some ideas for experimenting with OBEs with all this technological
yeah.
equipment that we have. But before this, before the digital age, and we could hook you up to webcams and different... you know, different things that that we can try and capture this kind of phenomena with and measure it. There's, you know, they had to experiment pretty much in the analog realm and write down mm-hmm. everything that they saw. And there were a lot of experiments going on. And who was it? Keith Blue Harari, for example, would experiment with people trying to have OBEs simultaneously and then interacting in the astral world. And then there was... I can't even remember all of them. And then finally, you know, Robert Monroe went and built the Monroe Institute and tried to do it with sound and music and waves and things like that. Mm-hmm. And evidently with some success, too, from what I've heard. It still goes on, you know, though Robert Monroe's no longer with us, the Institute is there and still teaching people about this and the health benefits. There's actually health benefits and things like that with this. So, I mean, it goes on still, some of the experimenters. But the early experimenters, they were sort of esoteric. Mm-hmm. You have different ideas, though, as far as obviously proving the validity of them. Just like I've seen a ghost once, you don't have to prove to me that there's ghosts, but the validity of them is beyond question in your mind. It's like, how do we show what effects on our real world bodies and lives? How do we do that via technology? That's what you've got ideas on, right?
Yeah. The first thing, getting back to what you say, between the analog and the technological, time that we are in. I mean, back then, I would have loved to have the access to what we have now and how many different aids and, assistants and forums and online internet communication and, chat rooms and, you name it. I would have loved to have that back then. But on the other hand, too, I think, I rely a lot of what I have experienced and what I have, faithfully tracked. And I don't rush an experience, first thing and say, well, this is all valid because, I experienced it. But, once I experience it on a multiple times, thousands and thousands of times over and over again, and I'm able to differentiate between, the dreams, false awakenings, the wide awake induced OBE through trance state, and validating, coincidence, synchronicities, and with my experiences, validating all this information, it has really proved personally for me, life does exist, out of our physical realm and into a spiritual realm. But I'm also not one to quickly judge and say, yes, this is it, amen, life after death exists. You got to go out there and continuously test and validate and experiment and see how the results are yielded and what is produced. Now, going into the technological area of like today and what we had discussed a little bit, science, neurologists, they're getting more into the field of like virtual reality, like using goggles to simulate, the feelings and the impressions and some of the vertical, perceptions of what one would actually see from having an out-of-body experience, or using magnetic fields to trigger different, emotions and feelings, and even the sensations of an OBE, placed on your head through a helmet, which I believe they call the God Helmet. Michael Persinger, he's a professor and a neurologist. And correct me if I'm wrong, but he's done studies with that where they've been able to bring other people in the lab and they've been able to report certain things of that nature of the out-of-body experience and symptoms of it. And, when I come into play and I look at this type of technology, it's all great. I mean, I love what they're doing, but, we shouldn't also jump the gun and say, it's all programmed in our brain that these experiences occur, because people who've had near-death experiences or even out-of-body experiences have been able to validate, what they've been able to receive outside the body. And I mean, it's just, the data is just so overwhelming. And, science don't have all the questions when it comes down to these type of experiences. You really got to go out there and chase these experiences and document it and not rush to judgment, but weigh out the data and see, you know, hey, is this a true valid experience, or was that just a hallucination that I brought on through whatever? But, you know, getting back to the virtuality, the goggles, for one thing, which is really cool, these are some of the experiments that I'm trying to work on through funding. Basically, one of the experiments is virtuality with goggles. What the scientists have done, they've worked with participants. They would put goggles on the actual person, and the goggle, the left and right, you know, hemisphere of the brain and the eyes will perceive an image of themselves looking back. So, like, if I had two VCR or video cameras, one would be left and one would be right, and that image would be, or the camera would be behind me. And then what they do is they project that image into those goggles, so you see left and right, but you see behind yourself. So, you know, again, you have these scientists exploring this, and a lot of participants who've done this had mentioned that they've had these type of sensations, feelings, and emotions of being out of body. But, you know, as an experiencer, and, you know, people who I communicate with daily who've had near-death experiences, it's like you got to slow down there, because, you know, you can't explain everything. And when you try to equate this down to, hey, this is it, this is final, this is what these experiences are coming from, our brain, there's a lot more beyond that than just, you know, putting on some goggles or some magnetic field. It's excellent research, and, you know, I applaud scientists, but also let's get other people that are really involved with, you know, being able to project, like me, Robert Bruce, the famous people who are out there that who can, you know, produce that state, and let's do some more research, and let's really compare and contrast between people who never had those experiences to people that do it on a daily basis. So, you know, it's one of those things with technology. It's all great, but you also got to weigh out other factors too of comparison between the people that can do it and the people that can't do it. I mean, is it going to be the same for everybody? You know, somebody that can project versus somebody that can't project, you know, what will be the difference? So, I mean, for what technology and, you know, the analog and experiences, it's really interesting stuff, but there's a lot more in depth than just strapping on this technological stuff and, you know, going off to Never Never Land.
And that's absolutely true. But the, I think what, first, before we get into more of the stuff, show notes, I have to ask. I happen to see just one small portion of, like, 5 minutes at the most of some TV show. It was last week. It was probably Thursday, either Wednesday or Thursday night. And it was on E!, the entertainment channel. And it was about out-of-body experiences and near-death experiences of famous celebrities throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually some kind of documentary where they interviewed some people about, you know, famous people about their OBEs and NBEs, or NDEs. Did you happen to catch that? Was it interesting? Was it slanted? Because I only saw like 5 minutes of it before I had to run out the door.
Yeah, I mean, many years before, I've done a lot of extensive research and reading about, you know, famous celebrities that are out there who've had these experiences, like Jane Seymour. Like, for one of them, I guess she went into, she had an allergic reaction to some kind of medication at the time that she was taking, and then she had the full-blown NDE, and, I mean, she was pretty lucky to come back from what I read on it. And, I mean, there's a host of others. When I read somebody else's experience, you know, I'll take it in, absorb it, and I don't rush to the final judgment just because that happened to you once or a couple of times that, yeah, it was 100% valid. But, again, I could say the same thing, too. I mean, I've had thousands and thousands of OBEs, and I could be telling you until the cows come home about my experiences, but it won't mean anything to you until you step into it and you experience it, you know, on a continuous basis. I mean, you have celebrities, you have, you know, children, you have you know, adults, non-celebrities, anybody, you know, race, culture, spanning, you know, the globe, doesn't matter what business you're in, people report these experiences. And getting back to the whole celebrity thing, I just started to learn more about DVR and did a recording, and that was one of the episodes that I actually taped not too recent. I will definitely be, I'll be watching that, and there's a few others, too, that will be very interesting to watch that I'm able to schedule. So, you know, I like reading about their experiences, but really the fruit for me is doing it and have that passion and that intent to experience it firsthand, and then I can make my judgments on, you know, what people say versus, you know, what I've experienced. And a lot of the celebrities and what they've explained about their near-death experience and or the OBE experience, you know, I find a lot of commonalities between what I've experienced or what I've read. So I know there's, you know, definitely there's a lot of data that's there that backs up what I've experienced and what they've experienced, and it's really interesting information.
It does sound interesting. Why do you think, like, now, obviously I go to a lot of parties and social events, and we always end up talking about ghosts. I mean, almost as soon as you say, you know, oh, yeah, I do a talk show called Ghostly Talk, well, of course, that sort of leads everybody into, oh, have I got a ghost story for you? I've got a ghost story for you. But
yeah.
I've been to a lot of things, and very rarely do people say, have you ever heard of this kind of thing, and then describe an OBE and then or an NDE.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, I, you know, have heard of it. I've studied them. But, it's not really all that much talked about, and it gets, like, there's a few things on TV about near-death experience or out-of-body experience, but it's a lot more rare. Why do you think everyone has a ghost story, but not everyone has an out-of-body or near-death experience story? I mean, I'm kind of glad everybody doesn't have an NDE story. I mean,
yeah, no
okay,
doubt,
that's
no
a little
doubt.
On the morbid side.
A few times. Yeah.
Yeah, she's come close on me a few times, but...
yeah. Well, I mean, I'm going to try to give my best answer here. And, you know, I didn't learn about the OBE until, like, 87. And I remember going some years back beforehand, and this is actually my book that I'm writing about, and this is actually kind of funny. At the time, there was at the show this near-death documentary. And I remember this was like early 70s, like mid-70s or whatever, and I was really interested in all these experiences. And I remember my first date that I took, to the movie, was this girl that I was like elementary or at the time. And I remember my folks, and I was hoping all my folks would have taken me to see this documentary, but they never did. So I asked this girl on a date, and we went to this documentary with her dad and my brother and me and my dad, and we're like, okay, here we are, first date. You take a girl to see a documentary about near-death experience. But, I mean, it was really interesting to me, but I never really thought about us as humans having that, you know, ability to be able to, you know, shift our consciousness into a spiritual body until I was made aware of it like 10-some years ago. And once I was aware of it, then I just ran with the ball. I think a lot of it's just conscious awareness and you know, spreading the information around and giving people tools to learn from. But also another thing, too, is like many people, like me especially, and before I even became aware of this, you know, I would have like the most vividest dream that I was getting up, putting my clothes on, brushing my teeth, ready to get into the car, go off to school or work, and then I'd immediately be pulled back to the body. I'd wake up again physically in the physical world, and I would just dismiss that as a dream. And that, as a society of what we've been taught by our parents and society, that it's just a dream. But once you start exploring it deeper and start seeing the different ways you can enter and shift, you know, your consciousness from the physical to the spiritual body, then you start seeing a wider and bigger picture that really kind of, you know, from what society tells you what to believe or what they think it is just a dream. It speaks for itself when you actually experience it.
Well, so, after the break, David, we are going to find out what it says. I know I'm 2 minutes late for the break. I've been listening. That's the problem. And I haven't been paying attention to the clock. I've been like, wow, this is, you know, OBE stuff. I'm really geeky. But we do have to take the break because we do play here on Ghostly Talk. We play the independent music during the break, and I want to expose people to as much independent music and independent art as possible. So we're going to do that. Hang on, because we do want to let these experiences speak for themselves. And I want to hear a couple of your experiences and stuff like that. So we'll do that after the break. Everybody, it is www.invisiblelight.us. Call that up in your browsers and read up on what's going on, because we'll be back with more from David A. Warner after this independent music.
Ghostly Talk!
Hey, Scott L. I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash in my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1¼-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1¼-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
Hi, this is Luke.
And this is Tobin from Quest Research.
Hey, Tobin, what do you get when four guys with absolutely no video experience whatsoever decide to produce their own online paranormal TV show?
I don't know. What? Oh, wait. I do know. Ghost Diaries, right?
That's right.
You can check us out and get involved at www.questresearch.net. And good thing about being new is that we will only get better.
Again, just to let you know, the website that we're talking about, www.invisiblelight.us. We're talking with David Warner about out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences, and all of that. He, for what, 21 years or something, David, you've been having these experiences. And you said a couple of times a week lately, so it's something that's probably old hat to you. But what kinds of things do you experience on a typical journey?
Well, a lot of it depends on what I want to achieve, you know, when I go out of body. And everything is all based on intent and objective of what I want to work towards. Now, some of the basic, simple experiences that I first worked on in trying to get out of the body was more or less just trying to get out of the body, trying to figure out how to get out of the body, and then learning how to actually manipulate that state to where I could achieve it over again. But, like, you know, for somebody that's starting this from a beginning point of view, of trying to experience these, you know, start within maybe 5 to 10 feet of just exiting the body, and then exploring, you know, your room and your environment and the house. And then by that time, you might be able to successfully get out for maybe 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, and be pulled back. Now, as when I first started off, that's what I would work on. And then I'd actually build myself up to where I could get outside of the house and look around, or taking flight into the air, or going to the moon, or going across to the other side of the universe, or if it's going into the higher spiritual planes, or if it's actually visiting relatives who have passed. It could be any of those, you know, that I work towards. A lot of that is, I mean, those are more the bigger experiences, but realistically, those can be obtained. But, you know, you got to start off with something small, and then just learn the mechanics, learning how to crawl, to walk, and learning how you can actually move in about those realms. But some of my experiences, Yeah, I'll just say something real basic with my first experience. I'll just give you something like a rundown. The first experience, it just came down to I wanted to project. I wanted, at the time, wanted to read this book. And this book was Janet Lee Mitchell. And I was really tired at the time, but I was still wanting to read this book. I just couldn't put this book down. I was just so avid about reading this book. But as I put this book down, took a light nap, still on my mind, I wanted to read this book. So I had my first experience. And what had happened is I just felt drunk. I was floating upwards, and then, you know, I'm looking down at the bed, blah, blah, blah. I didn't see no physical body, but I saw this big apple on the bed, and I'm trying to think, what the heck here? And I felt kind of drunk at the time, but absolutely alert and conscious and aware. And the first thing I started thinking, oh, yeah, want to read this book, want to read this book. And then I started to try to put my shoes on, and as I kept trying to pass my hands through my shoes, trying to put it on, I started getting really upset, frustrated, confused. Why can't I put my shoes on? All I want to do is put these shoes on so that I can walk across the floor, not getting, you know, my feet dirty or feeling the cold floor, and that's it. But it just didn't register for me. And as I finally gave up, I decided, okay, I'm just going to go get the book. I floated about maybe 4 or 5 feet, and I started falling backwards. And at that time, just the whole deluge of thoughts started just hitting me all at once. I'm falling backwards. I don't have my balance. I'm going to hit the bedpost, crack my head open. There's going to be blood everywhere. My brother's going to be pissed because he's going to have to, you know, mop up the floor and, you know, root his blankets on his bed. Mom and Dad are going to freak out. I'm going to go to the hospital, you know, and they're going to be upset. And then after I'm all fixed up again, they're going to be pissed off at me because I fell backwards and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I returned back to the body so fast, so hard. Imagine the feeling of when you're falling off a building and right when you're ready to hit. But amplify that feeling by about 1,000 times as worse, and not realizing what's going on at the same time too, and being thrown back into the body, thrusted, and waking up in complete sweat. Your heart rate is like 1,000 miles, you know, beating, and you're in complete darkness. You know, that was the first experience. And then after that, I remember I ran out of the room, down the hallway to my bedroom, and it hit me like lightning that my first OBE. Now, that was like the first one. The second one was easier, and it just seemed like it just came natural. But as I kept working towards, you know, projecting and learning, trying to figure out how and why what I was doing, then it became natural to me to be able to put myself into this state. Now, you know, flash forward about 20-some years later, some of the experiences that I've had, just like recent, one of the big experiences that I've had is last March my mom passed on, and she, unfortunately, she had passed on, she transitioned to the other side, and, you know, at that time and moment in my life, it's like, you know, I thought I was ready to connect with her. And for a good month after she passed on, that's all I was trying to do, was trying to connect with her. And there was different moments where I would be in either a dream or a false awakening, talking to somebody about out-of-body experiences, and my mom was there in the background. And it just didn't hit me at the time. Duh, wake up, become conscious, start communicating with her. And then I just kept on working on that intent to be able to be 100% wide awake, conscious, alert, and then, you know, when I would project and be able to connect, then I would have like a list of questions to ask her. Now, when that moment did happen and I had that time with her, the experience, it was just beautiful. I mean, it was just absolutely beautiful. Seeing my mom light up with a smile on her face, and she was actually surprised when I was there connecting with her. She asked me, it's like, what are you doing here? And I said, Mom, you remember about the OBEs and what I pursued for the last, you know, 20-some thousand years? And you wouldn't believe me about this. I said, well, I'm here. And so I asked her, you know, questions about how are you doing? How's everybody else doing? You know, my grandmother and my uncle who passed, and my grandfather, you know, before her. And I asked her, we were actually in the geographical location when I connected with her at my mom and dad's house, but on the spiritual level, we were at my mom and dad's house. And I remember her and I, we went to the backyard. I was sitting down on a chair, and she's right next to me. She's puffing on a cigarette, and I'm like, Mom, you don't learn, do you? But I'm like, I guess this is your, you know, that she was a smoker all her life, and that's what she enjoyed a lot, and, you know, sipping on iced tea or Coke or whatever. And, you know, we chatted for a very long time, and then from that experience, you know, there's a lot more that went on. I kind of went over the gloss parts of it, but after that experience was over, you know, it's just one of those things I explained to her. I said, Mom, even though I'm here with you in this time, on this side, you know, the pain still hurts when, you know, I come back to the physical part because, you know, it's still there. It doesn't matter how many times I come over here to visit you. I mean, I love you. My, you know, everybody misses you, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. So, you know, that was basically one of my recent experiences about a month ago that I realized, you know, I'm not there just yet to be able to contact her. You know, I've been able to make that contact, but, you know, I want to kind of focus on some other things, too. And then once I can kind of get past that physical absence part and, you know, grow a lot more stronger, then I'll be able to connect with her on a level that I want to be at. So that's kind of give you, like, a little insight on what I've been able to do. A couple of years ago, one of the experiences that I had that was very educational, and it actually really just blew my mind, and how I expressed this experience, it actually opened me up to more of a becoming a mentor to a foster care child that my wife and I are now in the process of partaking, and we're trying to guide a child right now. Also becoming a hospice volunteer companion to the dying that I've done, you know, many hours of bedside, you know, companionship to those who are dying. The experience in itself, I was trying to reach into the higher plane levels of the spiritual levels. And according to different beliefs, you have, like, your physical level, which is our lowest right now, and then you move on to the next level, spiritual level, whatever you want to call it. Commonly known as astral plane, and then you go into another higher level, mental plane, nirvana, buddhic, monad, and devachanic, and whatever, you know, religion, theosophy, a Hindu belief, Buddhism, whatever level you want to call it, interpret it as. But I wanted to go into the higher plane levels and being able to connect and see something a little bit different from just a physical mirrored image of the physical plane into the astral plane levels. And each time that I would try to reach that, I would either I'd be nervous, I'd bail at the last second, or I would be with a guide that would try to take me to those levels, and I would back out. I don't know why there's a barrier there. And as many times you can project, still you're going to have that little fear factor because, hey, we're human. We want to stay on this level as much as possible. And, you know, explore the other side, but also, you know, it's kind of like that curiosity killed the cat. And as I keep explaining to myself over and over again, hey, you know, I've been out thousands and thousands of times, you know, there should be no reason why I should not be, you know, nervous. But in the experience, what happened, to make it real brief and short, and remember, I'm only going to be glossing over the highlights. I was actually confronted with an angelic being, an angel. And this angel, I would say she was probably maybe mid-40s. She had tan skin, kind of like a dark brunette, wavy-type hair. She had the wings, the big span wings. There was no halo or energy or, you know that you see, like, in pictorials of angels or, like, in paintings or what have you. But basically, the angel, she materialized in front of me from a distance, and she came closer. And I'm just like, huh, what? You know, pinch me, is this for real? And she just took off. And I'm thinking, like, okay, either I could follow her or I could just, you know, abort this whole experience. So I remember, you know, from reading, at the time I was actually reading the Bible about, I think it was either Christ or John, and one of the passages, he's saying, test the fruit, of the tree, and if it actually yields good fruit, you know, you're going to eat from it. But if it yields bad fruit, don't eat from it, obviously. So I decided to test that fruit of that angel, and I asked, you know, are you good or are you bad? Are you of God? And he replied back to me instant, before even I could even formulate the what I was ready to say. She says, we all are of God. And she was very quick. But she also told me that she kept asking me, are you okay with following me? Are you okay with what I can show you? And she was always comforting. And I, you know, I said, yes, I'm ready for this. I can do this. And then I just remember certain things throughout the experience, going through the tunnel, the light. The light itself is just absolutely beautiful. It's like majestic. It's dramatic. It's just like, you know, very inspiring. It's about the purest light piercing that you've ever seen, but it's soothing to your eyes. And then she did take me to some future scenes of me in a certain business setting. And as I was watching this whole setting from like a 3D, 4D, whatever type perspective, all at once thrown at me, I was asking, are things recorded, past, present, future, before, physical, after, everything? And she said, yes, everything's absolutely recorded. And I said, nothing gets left untouched or what have you. And I said to this angel, I said kind of like a S-H-I-T word. And at that time, she actually in a jovial tone kind of, you know, chuckled a little bit. But she expressed to me that's something that you can work on with your language. Not that I would swear a lot, but it was a part of my, you know, my grammar. And as I returned back from the whole experience, that's when I started to realize, okay, you know, I've seen this angel. She taught me a few things, blah, blah, blah. Who am I to argue with? You know, an angel. And from there, ever since, for the last couple of years, you know, I removed that grammar out of my my language, and those words, bad words out of my language. And I think a lot of that has to equate to, you know, public speaking, communicating with people through the internet, radio shows, everything. And, you know, also getting back to the hospice and becoming a mentor to foster care children. You know, that experience in itself was just, you know, a one in a million thing, and it was just absolutely inspiring, just absolutely beautiful. And, you know, I took that experience, I tested the fruit, and it yielded good fruit, and it was absolutely a lesson learned.
That is fantastic. And we only have like a little over 3 minutes left with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, because obviously this has had a profound impact on your life. And
mm-hmm.
you said you're going to share some more, you know, a bit of your experiences in a book form, which is fantastic. I can't wait. But right now, of course, we've got invisiblelight.us, which is great. Can folks who have questions contact you there through that website?
Well, definitely. I definitely welcome people to email me, communicate, and if they have questions, you know, shoot them to me.
Excellent. And then also, Whiplash in the chat room has, because you mentioned in the story about going up, you know, into the more, higher planes, that even you have fear after having done this thousands of times. So imagine somebody at the very beginning who is not necessarily fearless, somebody who's, fairly normal in that they've probably heard of OBEs or NDEs either on this show or through all the TV or picked up a book, or maybe they're with their friends and they've got a book with, you know, a practically nude body on it, you know, like you did. And so you've got this, thing, and you're like, I wonder what that's like. And then, of course, rational thought is, well, no, I kind of want to stay here in my body as much as possible because, you know, this is where I live.
Yeah.
Wow, what was that noise?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Keep going.
Thank heavens. But I just hope it wasn't like a
just
tornado.
Keep going.
So we have we've got people who are just trying this out or wanting to try this out, and obviously there's books about how to do it already, and I'm sure there's online resources. But what about that fear? What about that instant, you know, like as you're about to do it, even if all the conditions are right, how can you set it aside, or is it just something you've got to deal with? How does that work, David?
You know, that's something that, you know, you can have like thousands of experiences over and over and over again, and it's that part of like, you know, that, you know, losing yourself. And, you know, I have proved to myself time and time again, you know, I've been shot, I've been stabbed, I've been burned on fire, you name it, been plunged underwater, you know, and I've always came back. And, you know, a lot of that is basically, you know, turning to God, giving it to God and say, hey, protect me. You know, or, you know, feeling love based on the intent of projecting. It all comes down to intent. If you want to follow and learn and love and care and start, you know, projecting and learn about what you can learn from the other side and following it in that way, good intent, then you're going to have those experiences. Yes, you're going to have bad experiences, bottom line. But, I mean, out of the positive versus the negative experiences I've had, I mean, I'd say, like, I'm 98% of the time, all my experiences are good. But you're going to have those ones that are going to be bad because it's going to teach you that, yeah, that stuff does, you know, exist out there. And it's more or less just, you know, it's affirmations, it's prayer, it's experience. Nothing like in physical life, too. I can go out, get in my car, travel down the street, and somebody could plow right into me. It's, you know, what you learn from that experience. And then you get in that car and you do it again over and over and over. And that's it. It's nothing like anything in life where you just gotta, you know, you just gotta educate yourself through the reading, through the different experiences, and the most part of love and why and you want to do this. If it's some like kind of power trip that you think you have some kind of magical power and over other people, that's not why people project. People project because of education and helping others and spirituality of learning more about the other side and what they can do on both sides to better themselves and to help others. And that's why I think that's been a very successful recipe for me to be able to go into those higher levels or to be able to connect with my mom. And it's just really a process of growing and learning and being wise about it.
Absolutely fantastic. Your website. Oh, hang on through the break, though, or into the break, because you know, we'll have a little changeover. Because I want to bring on Richard Klaunch next from California. We're going to talk about ghosts and what he's been up to. But, you know, David, OBEs, NDEs, it's one of my topics. Thank you so much for coming on. Your website is www.invisiblelight.us, and I have a feeling a lot of people will go there, and hopefully they'll contact you with their questions and things like that. Hang on through the break, though. Independent music coming up on the break, and then afterwards, Richard Klaunch from ghosttoghost.org. I can't wait. Haven't talked to Richard in a while, have we?
No.
And, of course, we're a minute late because, you know, David, fascinating stuff. Thank you so much. Okay.
No problem.
After the break, Richard Klaunch, ghosttoghost.org.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.